Happy Sabbath, everyone. Now, I don't know about you, but I was really, really blessed by my Sabbath school this morning. It was led out by Julianne, and the topic for today was about stress and how to deal with stress. And it reminded me of, the thought that came to my mind when I heard it was, why couldn't I have heard this like 3 to 4 weeks ago? Literally, 3 to 4 weeks ago, I was experiencing quite a little bit of stress myself. I was thinking about my sermon and what to preach about, and I couldn't think of anything. So I went to my dad, who's a pastor, and I said, "Dad, I don't know what to preach about. You know, I'm reading my devotions. It's amazing. It's a blessing, but I just can't quite think of anything." So he looked at me. He put his hand on my shoulder. He looked me right in the eye, and he said, "Son, just preach about your biggest burden." So that's pretty good advice, right? Pretty good advice. I said, "Okay, Dad, thank you." So then I sat down in my room. I was thinking to myself, what is my biggest burden? What could I preach about? Like, what do I think about every day? What is my biggest passions? And the more that I thought about it, the more stressed I got. Because I was thinking to myself, how in the world am I going to start a sermon about a church directory? But since we're on the topic, let me update you real quick about the church directory. So maybe a couple of weeks ago, we were at 65 families, 75. We actually have a few more pictures to upload in our directory, but as of right now, we have 112 families. Okay, not 112 people, but 112 families. So that's approximately about 200 to 300 people. Amen? I'm super excited about the directory. But onto my actual burden for today, the real one. As you know, this Monday is Memorial Day. And out of curiosity, how many of you here in the audience, in the church have served in the military, Air Force, Navy? Amen. Amen. Why don't we give a round of applause? Thank you so much for serving. You know, as I was thinking about Memorial Day, I realized I didn't really know much about it. So what I did, I went on my computer, I researched about it, and today I'd like to share with you my findings from credible sources such as Wikipedia and Yahoo Answers. So here's a little history about it. It started in 1861. In the Civil War, it's America's bloodiest chapter, and over 600,000 soldiers died in action. And just 600,000. And just to give you a perspective of how large 600,000 is, it's approximately 5 times the population of Temecula. So just kind of imagine that. Civil War. And as the war came to an end, mourners from both northern and southern states placed flowers on graves of fallen soldiers. Later on, John A. Logan, an old war general, had an idea. He wanted to unite all of the decoration holidays together into one official holiday, designating May 30th as Decoration Day. Then it continued to grow, and until the end of the 19th century, it was renamed Memorial Day. But here's the thing, though. This is what I thought that was really interesting. At that time, when they were celebrating it on, the 30th? The northern and the southern states had kind of like a conflict. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't want to celebrate a day where they lost. You know, how would you feel? But the thing was, it wasn't until World War I, when over 130 people died and a trial came, that the northern states and the southern states bonded and decided to celebrate on Memorial Day anyone who has died for freedom in this country. what I pretty much took from what I looked up was that Memorial Day is a very solemn and sobering holiday. And question, is it important to remember those people that have fought and died for freedom, church family? Is it important? It is. But what I've found is that some people, including myself, have either forgotten or are too distracted to remember the true meaning of Memorial Day. So could it be that in our own personal Memorial Day, in our day-to-day lives with Jesus, have we maybe forgotten or are too distracted to remember the one who has died for freedom? The title of our message for today is Remember. But before we start, let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for dying for us and just saving us, Lord, from the slavery of sin. Lord, forgive me and forgive us all for the times when we've forgotten everything that you've done for us. We love you so much and help us always to remember. Please, we just want to invite your Holy Spirit here with us today, and please put your words in my mouth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, first thing, why should we remember? There are many examples in the Bible and in life, and especially in the Bible, that show that forgetting leads to unbelief, and unbelief leads to rebellion. And when we forget, we separate ourselves from the Savior. I think of the Israelites in the Exodus. They witness the 10 plagues of Egypt. They're leaving Egypt, and they were just singing with joy. Imagine that you and past generations for 400 years were slaves, and you're the first people to come out. You'd be happy, right? But the thing that's so interesting is that as soon as they hit the Red Sea, as soon as they experienced trials, they wanted to go back to Egypt where they were slaves. So the question is, why? What would lead someone to do something like that? In Psalms 106, verse 7, it says, "They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea." Has God given us a multitude of mercies, church family? Let's always remember him. And then as we continue, what's so interesting is they forgot about the Lord and his mercies because they were too distracted thinking about themselves. And as we continue, the Red Sea parts, and over again, they continue to forget, which caused them not to believe, and over again, they rebelled. The next example I'd like that comes to my mind is I think of King Saul. In 1 Samuel 15, verse 3, pretty much the Lord sends a message to Saul to attack the Amalekites. And he says, "Kill all that they have and spare none, men, women, infant, child, ox, sheep, camel, and donkey." But in verse 9, it says, "But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed." Why did Saul rebel? In Patriarchs and Prophets 6:32, it says, "When called to the throne, Saul had a humble opinion of his own capabilities and was willing to be instructed. But Saul presumed upon his exaltation and dishonored God by unbelief and disobedience." So because Saul forgot the Lord and was presuming upon his own exaltation and not giving glory to God, he did not believe, and then he rebelled. When we forget, we separate ourselves from the Savior, And that's why it is so important for us to remember him. So then why do we keep on forgetting? Why do we keep on forgetting? The reason why we keep on forgetting is because there's an enemy out there that is doing everything that he can to always distract us and make us not remember. So today I'd like to share with you two practical and powerful tools to help us remember the Savior and never forget him. Amen? First tool, prayer. In Messages to Young People 2:26, it says, "While engaged in our daily work, we should lift the soul to heaven in prayer. These silent petitions rise like incense before the throne of grace, and the enemy is baffled." The Christian whose heart is thus stayed upon God cannot be overcome. Is that encouraging? Amen. When I was about a freshman or sophomore in high school, that's when I first started to kind of read my devotions and pray a little bit, just a little bit. And I remember that before I went to class, I'd read and I'd get convicted on something, and I would pray like, you know, "Lord, help me to reflect your character to my friends. Help me to become more and more like you. Help me to let go of these idols that are distracting me and taking me away from you." But the interesting thing is, as soon as I stepped out that door, go to my car, I listened to the same type of music I'd always listened to that took my mind away from God. I would talk with my friends with the same types of conversation, very, you know, just worldly conversation that definitely didn't reflect his character. And by the end of the day, I ended up doing the things that I promised God that I wouldn't do. The devotional I read, the prayer time I had in the morning literally did nothing for me because I cut God off from my mind as soon as I walked out the door. If I would have just set my mind on things above and not on earthly things all throughout the day and just stayed connected with God, I wouldn't have forgotten and by the grace of God, most likely not have fallen. While engaged in our daily work, we should lift our soul to heaven in prayer. The Christian whose heart is thus stayed upon God cannot be overcome. As we're in school, driving to work, cooking dinner, whatever our daily work is, let's set our minds to God. Because the Christian whose mind, the Christian whose heart is thus stayed upon God will not and cannot be overcome. Amen? Amen. I like to read a quote from Brother Joe's favorite book, Steps of Christ, page 94, and it says, "Our Heavenly Father waits to bestow upon us the fullness of his blessing. It is our privilege to drink largely at the fountain of boundless love. What a wonder it is that we pray so little." God is ready and willing to hear the sincere prayer of the humblest of his children. And yet there is much manifest reluctance on our part to make known our wants to God. You see, our Heavenly Father is just, I could just see him in my own sanctified imagination. He's just so excited and just almost anxious to just give us anything that he wants. Kind of like a father. And yet, it's just so crazy to think about that with all these blessings and all of these opportunities that we can have, we tend to pray not as much as we should. So the question is, why don't we feel the need to pray? You know, many, many, many years ago, I knew this very young, mischievous Filipino boy who shall not be named. And this little boy, he hardly prayed. He probably the only time he prayed was before a meal. And sometimes he'd forget when he was too hungry. But the thing was, his prayers were kind of shallow, you know, very repetitive, more of a ritual than an experience. But the thing was, when the moment came when his dad threatened to spank him, his prayers started to come alive with so much vigor and fervor. He came from, "Lord, thank you so much for this food," to, "Lord, save me from the chastising rod of my father." And in all seriousness, you see, all jokes aside, the reason why he felt the need to pray was because he saw his need to pray. The reason why we don't feel the need to pray is because we don't see our need. So then the question is, how do we see our need? Let's turn our Bibles to James 1, 22 to 25. James 1, 22 to 25, and it's talking about the difference between someone who hears the word and does not do it, and someone who hears the word and acts upon it. Verse 25 says, I'll wait a little bit. Verse 25 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets the kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Verse 25 tells us that the Bible, God's law, is like a mirror. And only if we daily and continually look into the mirror, only if we daily and continually look into God's word, will we see our need to pray for change. And I remember in high school, there were always these girls. And almost every opportunity that they can, almost every 15 minutes, they'd always pull out their pocket mirror. They'd check their teeth, they'd check their hair, you know, whatever, makeup retouch, whatever. And it's so funny because it doesn't matter what was going on, they'd always be looking at the mirror, you know. Teachers talking, there's a final going on. Earthquake drill, it doesn't matter. They're going to pull it out. They were so faithful. Do we have any of these here today? No, just kidding. Just kidding. But they were so faithful and consistently pulling out their mirror. And the thing is, those girls, don't miss this point, those girls definitely saw their need for change. You know, like something in their teeth, loose hair, you know, whatever it was. Because they were literally always looking at the mirror. And if we as humans put as much importance into looking constantly at a mirror for people we'll never see again, how much more as Christians should we not just daily, but hourly look into the mirror for the one who we will be with forever? Amen. The Bible, God's law, is like a mirror. And only if we daily and continually look into the mirror, daily and continually look into God's word, will we see our need to pray for change. Lord, help me to look into your mirror so much more. Amen. So let's recap really quick what we've been talking about so far. So the first thing is, we need to remember God in our daily lives. We need to put an effort in remembering God every day, every hour, every moment, because there is an enemy that is doing his very best to distract us from him, distract us from the goal, from our mission. And then we looked at a couple of examples in the Bible that show the serious consequence of forgetting. We learned that forgetting leads to unbelief, and unbelief leads to rebellion. And then lastly, we looked at two of the most practical and powerful tools to help us remember. The first one was prayer. Messages to Young People says that the Christian whose heart is thus stayed upon God cannot be overcome. But the thing is, we won't see our need or even know what to pray for if we don't search the scripture, if we don't look at that mirror. You see, prayer and searching the scripture is such a powerful, powerful tool. And Satan knows it too. In the Great Controversy 5:19, it says, Satan well knows that all whom he can lead to neglect prayer and the searching of the scripture will be overcome by his attacks. Therefore, he invents every possible device to engross the mind. Satan knows how powerful and effective the searching of the scripture and prayer is. That's why he invents every possible device to engross, absorb, captivate, and hold the mind. Why does Satan want to engross our mind? Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And the thing is, Satan doesn't really care what or who we become as long as it isn't one of God's children. That's why he'll distract us with anything and everything, as long as it will take our thought from praying and searching the scripture. My question for all of us here today, including myself, is what is engrossing our mind? Is there anything that's taking our mind away from praying and searching the scripture? Is there anything that's taking our mind away from the peace and blessing that comes from talking to God and hearing his response when we read his word? We need to let go of any immoral distractions and be watchful that the blessings in our lives don't become distractions from the one who gives them. Amen? At this time, I'd like to invite my friends over here, my sister and her boyfriend, Nathan, come up over here. And I'd like them to share a message and song, really powerful song. But before that, as they're getting set up and ready, I'd like to share with you a story. And in the spirit of Memorial Day, I'd like to close off by sharing with you a story of the greatest veteran who ever lived. He experienced the most difficult distractions and temptations, but yet he stayed faithful. The story is found in Matthew 27, verse 35. And it says, "They crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothes they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there, and they put over his head the accusation writing against him, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, 'You who destroy the temple and build it up in 3 days, save yourself. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross.' Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and the elders, said, 'He saved others. Himself he can't even save. If he is the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and then we'll believe him.' He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will save him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.' Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing." Could you imagine being the King of the universe and the very people who you are trying to save not only have disbelief, but hate and mock you for what you are doing? You know, many people say, and I actually thought to myself as well, that temptations and distractions nowadays are so much harder than before. I used to think, man, I'd like to live in the time of Abraham or something, you know, where there was no iPhone, no YouTube, Netflix. Whew. You know, I was thinking to myself, now it's so much harder because at our fingertips, we have access to so much distraction, access to so much temptations. But did you know that at Jesus' fingertips, at just his very word, he could have been at the comforts of his mansion? But Jesus never forgot, and he remembered. When he was experiencing the trials of Calvary, he was thinking of you, and he was thinking of me. Satan well knows that all whom he can lead to neglect prayer and the searching of the scripture will be overcome by his attacks. Therefore, he invents every possible device to engross our mind. Jesus, though the hardship was there and the trials of all the distractions and temptations, he was faithful and still is faithful to us. Let's all be faithful and stay. Let's all be faithful to him as well. Amen.
Morning by morning, I wake up to find the power and comfort in God's hand in mine. Season by season, I watch him amazed, in awe of the mystery of his perfect ways. All I have need of, his hand will provide. He's always been faithful to me. I can't remember a trial or a pain he did not recycle to bring me gain. I can't remember one single regret in serving God only and trusting his hand. All I have need of, his hand will provide. He's always been faithful to me. This is my anthem, and this is my song, the theme of the stories I've heard for so long. God has been faithful, he will be again. His loving compassion, it knows no end. All I have need of, his hand will provide. He's always been faithful. He's always been faithful. He's always been faithful to me.
changest not thy call.